And this morning for our resurrected Savior. We thank you for the privilege of meeting together to worship Him, to learn more about Him through your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to teach us. We who know Christ as our Savior, we pray we might have receptive hearts to your word today. It might make a difference in the way we live. We also pray for any who might be here this morning who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray they might understand that He loved them too, that He died for them. He was buried, and He arose again the third day, that He paid for all their sin, everything they have done, are doing, and ever will do. And that by faith in Him, by trusting Him, they too can know eternal life. And we pray they will know before they leave this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, in the first four verses of this 15th chapter, we saw the full gospel. Now, when I say full gospel, I mean exactly what the gospel is all about. And it is found here in these four verses. In verse 2, he says, "You're saved if you keep in memory the things I preached, unless you believe in vain." Now, to believe in vain is the answer found that in the 17th verse. And look there for just a moment. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." The full gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He arose again the third day, according to the Scripture. We saw that last time. Christ died. A lot of people talk about Christ's death. They say you have to believe that Christ died for you. But it's not the full gospel unless you have the resurrection. It leaves us in our sin. We are of all men most miserable, Paul is going to tell us in a few moments. You know, it's one thing to believe that Christ died. You can even know that He was buried, He arose again. But salvation is not in just believing these facts. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that saves. He is the only one who can save, but He can, and He will, and He does. He saved me. He can save you right where you're sitting right now. If you'll trust Him, if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. That's a historical fact. He was buried. We know that. He was taken off the cross, placed in a tomb. He stayed there for 3 days and three nights, but death couldn't hold Him. He came back from the dead bodily. As we tried to point out last Sunday morning, when the Bible speaks of resurrection, it's talking about the body. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say that a soul or a spirit was ever resurrected. In fact, the word resurrection itself has to do with the raising up or the standing up of a body. That's what the word itself means, is the standing up of a body. A body is laying down, it's dead. Now it stands up, it's resurrected. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ arose spiritually. But that's as far as it goes. If it's just a spiritual death, a spiritual resurrection, then we have no salvation. He's going to tell us a little later in 1 Corinthians that we're all men most miserable if in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are all men most miserable. But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Jesus Christ, when He died, He came back from the dead. And Paul, here in the 15th chapter, he goes and he gives us a lot of facts about the resurrection, the historical appearances that Jesus Christ made here upon the earth. There are 17 of them, I believe, altogether found in the Word of God. He doesn't give us all 17. He does give us several here, beginning with the 5th verse. And look with me carefully then. By the way, before we do that, look in verse 3 again. I mentioned a moment ago that our faith is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who saves. And it says there in the 3rd verse, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I received, that Christ," underline that little word, "Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that He," now who is He? Christ. Jesus Christ. "That He was buried, and that He," Christ, "that He rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. And that He," now who is He? A spirit? By the way, how does a spirit rise? What position does it have? Paul's not talking about any spirit. He's talking about flesh and bone. Always in the Word of God, when it talks about a mortal man, a live man, it talks about flesh and blood. But when it talks about a resurrected man, it talks about flesh and bone. Because one day, we will be resurrected. Flesh. This flesh that you see right here, this bone that holds this flesh in place, will come back from the dead if I happen to die. If I don't, I'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Maybe before your eyes, before we leave this morning, I could be changed. And I'll go through the ceiling. If I disappear, the best thing for you to do is trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior as quickly as you can. Believe that He died for you too. You can still have eternal life. You can still go to heaven. You might have to seal your testimony with your own blood, but you can still be there. Verse 5, "And he was seen of Cephas," that's old Peter himself. This is actually the third appearance of the Lord Jesus. We don't know what kind of conversation went on here. We know Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. Was he saved when he denied the Lord? Yes. Was he saved after he denied the Lord? Yes. Peter was just way out of fellowship. Peter got to the place where he was depending on Peter. Peter was walking in the flesh. He wasn't depending upon God, the Holy Spirit, to give him power and strength to maintain that testimony in that time of testing. We could see that when they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter, in the energy of the flesh, took that sword and tried to split that man's head right down the middle. He didn't mean to get an ear, I guarantee you, but not Peter. You know, just cutting the man's ear off, all that do is just make him a little mad. Especially a soldier. Peter meant to split it right down the middle where there wouldn't be any argument. Of course, he missed in the power of the flesh. Then he began to warm his hands at the enemy's fire. Why? He was walking in the flesh. Was he still saved? Still saved. And I'm sure when Peter and Jesus Christ met here, they discussed some of these things. Jesus Christ had to reassure Peter. You see, Peter didn't lose his salvation. He might have lost the assurance, and I know he lost the joy. He sure lost the joy of his salvation. He wouldn't have cursed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that and maintain joy. Peter lost it. When they met together on this occasion here, Peter was cleansed. He got back into fellowship. And in 50 days, he's going to stand and he's going to preach. like not few people have ever preached in all the world. He and the others preach, and 5,000 people trust Jesus Christ in one evangelistic campaign in one day. That's a pretty good job. I'm sure that was exciting for 5,000 people. Even in our day, with all the mass media campaigns that we have and we've had in the past few years, there haven't been that many decisions recorded. But 5,000 people in the city of Jerusalem trusted Jesus Christ. What was the difference? I'm sure this conversation that Peter had with Jesus Christ on Resurrection Day made a difference. It certainly made a difference with Paul. Well, he was seen of Peter, then he was seen of the 12. Now, of course, this is not 12 people here. This is just a name that he gave that group, the 12 disciples. Judas is dead at this time, so it couldn't have been Judas. They had not picked out Matthias yet, so it couldn't have been him. And, of course, we know Thomas wasn't there. So there were only 10 there, but they were called the 12. He appeared unto them. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. I imagine this was at the sea, around the Sea of Galilee. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want to meet you there in Galilee. And I imagine as the disciples left Jerusalem and they were going up toward Galilee to say, y'all going back to go fishing? No. Not fishing for fish anymore. We've seen the resurrected Christ. We're going to meet him. I'm sure there were those who gathered in and took the trip. And he was seen of above 500 people at once, of which the greater part remaineth unto this present time, but some have fallen asleep. Now, Paul says to those people there at Corinth, he said, these 500 witnesses, these 500, above 500 people, most of them are still alive. This is some 25 years later. So apparently a lot of the people who trusted Christ were younger people. Most of them were still living. A few of them had died, probably those who had died. Some of them had sealed their testimony with their own blood. They had been martyred. But most of the 500 who saw the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection were still alive. A few had fallen asleep. We're going to talk about these who have fallen asleep here. These who have died. Is it all over for them? Is that the end? A lot of people would have you to believe this today. You better get all you can out of life right now, because this is all that we have. And I'm afraid even we Christians a lot of times live our life like this. We've just got one life to live, and boy, we better cram it full of gusto. Paul's going to tell us in a few moments, if in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable. Most miserable. Why? Why? Tell you why. Because a Christian like the Apostle Paul had given up the pleasures of the world, had given up the appetites of the world, and turned to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for a better day, even as Abraham did. Abraham could have had anything he wanted in the world in the day he lived, because he was a millionaire, probably the most wealthy man in all the world. And yet, all of his life, he kept looking for the city that God had promised. Why? He knew the truth about the resurrection. He kept wandering around and living in a tent. Why? He knew the doctrine of the resurrection. He knew that there was something better out there in the future, and that right now was a time of service.
We don't like that, do we? Because sometimes it gets in our way. Sometimes it makes us a little uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to go out of our way to do things that we ordinarily would not do. I want you to know that one day when we get in our resurrected bodies, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reward. And Paul never lets us forget this. All through his letters, he keeps talking about ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about being rewarded. He talks about the 1,000 years that we're going to be with Jesus Christ. The time when we're going to come back to this earth and live with him on this earth in a body for 1,000 years. Now, Paul doesn't tell us, doesn't call it the 1,000 years. He doesn't tell us how long it's going to be. John tells us that. John tells us very plainly that it's going to be 1,000 years. And you know, I've just got little enough sense to believe that when God says it's going to be 1,000 years, it is going to be literally 1,000 years. So there were those who were falling asleep, but they're going to be resurrected too. If Christ arose from the dead, then those who have fallen asleep will rise from the dead again also. Notice verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. Now, this is the Lord's half brother. Up until this time, James had not trusted Christ as his Savior. But after Christ arose from the dead, his half brother, that was too much of a testimony. He kept telling them he was going to die, and 3 days later he was going to come back from the dead. I'm sure James said, yeah. I know he's an unusual boy, and he's a good fellow to live around. Sometimes he's too good for his own good. Because you see, he never sinned. And living around those who sin, you know how aggravating it is to be around somebody who's always right. You know, I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. Well, that was actually what Jesus Christ was like. And I'm sure it aggravated James quite a bit at times, and the other brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus, and he did have brothers and sisters. But after he arose from the dead, James trusted him as his Savior. Then all the apostles, last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also as one born out of due time, one that was aborted, one who was born before time. This is Paul. He was born by a parent. See, he was on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he was struck down and blinded, and he said, Lord, who are you? He didn't know it was Jesus. But Jesus told him, he says, I'm the one that you've been persecuting. Well, he knew he died. And now he was alive. And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Trusted him as his Savior. He says, for I am the least of the apostles that am not fit to be called an apostle. Why? He tells Timothy, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief. And the reason he was chief, he was so religious and he tried to stamp out the church of God. He tried to stamp out all the Christians. But by the grace of God, and that makes the difference. Along with the resurrection and that wonderful truth gripping our heart and the truth of the grace of God in our lives. This will make all the difference in the world. Now, what does grace mean? For you, particularly who are visiting here this morning, grace means getting what you don't deserve and what you have not earned. Grace is unmerited favor. God showing to you favor that you have not earned or deserved in any kind of way. And we are saved on a basis of grace. We can't earn salvation. There's nothing I can do to merit going to heaven. Regardless of how good I might be or try to be, I could never be good enough in my own self to merit to go to heaven. If I had sinned in just one way, I would never and could never merit eternal life and salvation and being in heaven. Because the Bible says the wages, the payment of sin is death. Sin must be paid for, and that payment is only one way. You can't pay for sin by living a good life. You can't pay for sin by being confirmed. You can't pay for sin by doing anything. Being baptized, you can't pay for sin by praying. The only payment for sin is death. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He died on the cross. He died there in your place. He died there in my place. He paid for all my sin and he paid for all your sin. That's grace. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. Neither did you. But he paid for it. Now, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as I was saying, when we put all of our eggs, as it were, in one basket, we rely completely upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He saves us right then, and it's by grace. Well, not only are we saved by grace, but we live by grace. Paul says, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am." The reason why I'm an apostle is the grace of God. The reason why I'm a missionary and I go around giving out the Word of God and evangelizing people and leading them to Christ, teaching them the Word of God, is because of God's grace in my life. God doing for me what I haven't earned and what I haven't deserved. And notice that His grace which was bestowed upon me, the grace of God that was given unto Paul, was not vain, fruitless, devoid of content. God's grace upon Paul was not wasted, for I labored more abundantly than they are all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, the reason I labored was because of the grace of God. The reason why we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ this morning is because of God's grace. It's not our doing. It's not my doing. It's not your doing. It's God doing through us that we can accomplish things. Well, he says it was God's grace that was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, regardless of who it is, Paul says, if I'm the one who's giving out the Word of God, if I'm the one who's evangelizing, I'm the one who's telling how to be saved, or it's somebody else, it doesn't make any difference. Because this is what we are preaching. What? Christ dead, birth, resurrection. If you please, the full gospel. And that is the full gospel. The complete gospel. There is no other. There is nothing else. Paul said it was the gospel. If there is something besides this, what is it? Is it some work that we have to do? Then if it is, what work is it? How much do we have to do? So many people say you can't be saved just by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was confused then. Paul was woefully confused because that's all that he says here in 1 Corinthians 15. is that the gospel is that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Why didn't he finish it? I'll tell you why he finished it, because that is it. Oh, I know there are those who stand and say, you've got to turn from all your sin, you've got to repent. Repentance does not mean to turn from sin. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says that you have to repent of sin to be saved. In fact, John, our blessed apostle, the one who was right next to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote a whole gospel tract, 16 chapters long. Excuse me, 21 chapters long. 22 chapters long. How long is the deal? 22 chapters long. He wrote 22 chapters for the express purpose of telling us how we can be saved. In the 21st chapter, in the 30th and the 31st verse, he tells us why he wrote the book. Not one time does he tell us to turn from our sin. Not one time is baptism mentioned. Not even ever mentioned at all anywhere. Nor repentance mentioned anywhere. And yet he wrote the whole gospel for that express purpose. And if you have to do other things besides faith in Jesus Christ, John missed the whole point in writing the gospel of John. Now if I'm wrong, show me. You've got a Bible and you've got the gospel of John. You read it. And prove me to be wrong. If I am. If I'm not, trust Jesus Christ. Be saved. Right where you're sitting. Right now. And you too can know beyond any doubt whatsoever at all that you're going to have. I've known since I was 19. Because I put all my eggs in one basket. I trusted Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. I believe that He died for me. I believe He paid for all my sin. I trust Him. He saved me. I've never had to doubt it one time since then. Because I have my faith in the solid rock. I have a foundation that cannot be moved. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And that foundation is our wonderful Savior and our great God, the Lord Jesus. He died, He was buried, He arose again. Will you trust Him this morning? Can't not. You'll never know joy. You'll never know inner peace. And you'll never have confidence when it comes time to die until you trust Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. And friends, when you do trust Him, you'll never have to fear death again. You'll never have to wonder. When I take that long step, will I be in heaven or will I be in hell? I've got just as much confidence that when I die and I get to the pearly gates, Peter will say, come on in. As I am that you're sitting right before me this morning. Because the Word of God says, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. You can know the same thing too. Because you see, it's not our works, but it's the work of Jesus Christ. Shall we bow for prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here this morning. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right where you're sitting, right this minute, salvation can be yours. Eternal life can be yours. Because we have a resurrected Christ.
He overcame death, and he can overcome death in your life. Trust him. He's the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. But you can come to the Father by Jesus. So trust him. You'll put your confidence and your faith in him. Father, we do thank you for eternal life. That's your free gift to us. We have believed. We thank you that we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. We pray for those who are here this morning who do not have this confidence and this assurance. We pray the Holy Spirit might speak to their heart right now and show them that outside of Jesus Christ there's no salvation, but that when they trust him as their Savior, they're born again, they have a righteousness from God and eternal life. And we pray they might trust him. In Jesus' name.